Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Man. Shit is crazy, y'all. Huh? I found a new
Hi.
Job.
Welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. Today's episode, it's our 100th episode.
100.
Yeah, buddy.
Boom goes the dynamite. Yeah.
Feeling good, feeling great. As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVilla.
What's up, people? How are we all doing out there today?
Our very special podcast episode, our 100th show. It'll be very similar to our one-year anniversary show that we did almost a year ago.
Almost a year ago.
2 years coming up.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
We got another big show to plan soon.
And back then, we looked back at past episodes and guests and things like that. So the format for this show, what I really would like to do is focus on our listeners.
Awesome.
And the show itself and
the people that make the show for us.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have a small group of people who reach out to us, who listen faithfully, whether it's from day one or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And it means a lot. It means a lot to us. And, it's pretty cool.
I love it.
So I realize that not all our Instagram followers are our show listeners.
Okay.
Right? But we reached out to our Instagram followers to send in. We wanted to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
We set up a phone number where you could leave a voicemail. And we're going to play those voicemails today.
Awesome.
And listen to them for the first time.
So a little bit later in the show?
A little bit later in the show.
Okay.
We're going to play some of them. And this is going to be the first time.
Yeah,
both of us, I waited for you.
Awesome. That's sexy time.
Yeah, and then we'll talk a little bit. We'll share the dynamic between myself and Danny.
Yeah,
you know, as friends and as partners in this podcast game. All right,
but you feel misty in here, man.
No, it won't be. Won't be none of that. There's no crying in baseball. Before we get into that, I really would like to thank everyone who took the time to call in or write in and to wish us well.
Yeah, you had told me that we had a lot more people writing in than calling in.
Yeah, I'm not sure, I'm grateful.
Yeah. I think it's a lot with the social media that everybody's just so used to, you know, liking, tapping, commenting.
True.
That it's almost ingrained in them. You know what I mean? And I
you know what? That's true, because a lot of people don't use the phone.
No.
They're not making phone calls.
Most of the time they're not. You know what I mean? And I mean, it's so accessible for us, and I think it's almost too accessible for people lately, like in this generation and just in this time of age.
Yeah, just to fire off a message.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're like, I'll type it. Or half the time they're talking into their phone, leaving a message, and don't even realize that it's not recording anywhere. It's actually just typing onto whatever they're doing.
You made a very good point, you know? And that highlights how old school we could be.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking voicemails and stuff, and they're like, voicemail?
Exactly.
What the hell is voicemail?
But we needed the voicemail because we need sound bites for the people
to
hear.
Yeah, we're an audio medium.
Yeah.
But that's not your problem. That's our problem.
It is.
You know, that's our problem. And, we got a couple of questions about, hey, are you guys going to, you know, video record the podcast, mm-hmm. or at least the 100th show and things like that? And the answer is no.
No. It's we've talked about it even since the beginning, just like how the dynamic would work. And we both agree that we wanted to give you guys the best product available, and to add video to it, it would just take away from, I feel, and not to take away from the show itself, but
it's a pain in the ass.
It is. It's a lot of work.
Listen, videos, I shout out, and I mean props, I should say, to the people that do video podcasting or video, you know, YouTubes and things like that.
Yeah, video casting, all that kind of, yeah.
It's a whole different world.
Yeah, and I get why they do it. It makes perfect sense. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, it's another medium, but it's something else that you really have to execute well. You have to think about things differently.
Absolutely.
Okay? You have to... Really, first of all, the equipment is different than what we use.
Totally different.
You have to, I love photography, but my camera has video capability, but not for long format.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both, and we have very similar cameras. So
we have similar cameras and things like that. So, you know, we would have to think about lighting.
Exactly.
We would have to think about, you know.
We work in a smaller space. I mean, we like where we're working, but it's not video ready.
It's not video ready at all.
No.
And we're not video ready.
No.
You know, we come in here. I'm in,
you know.
I worked out this morning.
Exactly. Danny, he was a little bit right. I'm not going to like.
Danny informed me that I stink. And I do. But, you know, we do this and we take our time and we would like to do it right, but I run a business outside of this and my days are pretty packed. So yeah.
And I think that was the biggest issue is because we are both, when it comes to this, we like to bring in the best product available. And This is both mediums are in my forte, but I know the work that it would take to make the show the way I would want it on video. And it would be a lot. I mean, just it would take an extra day and a half on top of what we already do.
And it's a different performance art exactly. as well.
Yeah.
You know? So never say never. So maybe if, you know, we have someone else on board to do the video and we don't have to.
Yeah, but when we're done, like, you know, that, but... and we're just doing this for you guys all the time, we will definitely talk about delving into video.
So, yeah, that was one question I get a lot. And also, you know, I enjoy the restaurant business as a whole. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it, you know, for as many years as I do. You enjoy what you do as well. I don't want to speak for you.
I definitely enjoy what I do. We love our flexibility. We love to have the ability to do what we do and have the ability to have time for the people we need to have time for and the businesses that we want to have time for and growth in our life.
Correct. I also enjoy podcasting.
Yeah. This is,
you know,
we look forward to this every time we do it. It's,
yes.
It's always an amazing adventure every time.
I'm a podcast fan.
Yeah.
I listen to podcasts. Although I don't listen to a lot of podcasts in our niche, but I find it important to know that we do have a nice community of restaurant podcasts. And I'd like to acknowledge some of them that I like.
Talk to them. Yeah, let us know.
So, I mean, off the top of my head, well, full disclosure, I tend to not listen faithfully to restaurant podcasts because I consider myself an artist.
Yeah.
And I'm artistic in a lot of different ways. And I really want to keep my ideas
fresh. You don't want to gravitate towards their ideas or have anything that's going to kind of, you know, I get what you're saying completely.
Yeah, I want to keep my ideas fresh, and I don't want you know, others to seep in and things like that. But I do recognize, you know, good content and things that resonate with me.
Absolutely.
And so it's pretty cool to have those in our niche. And
so what are a couple? Which ones are you that you actually find that you like, or that you've enjoyed? Even if it's not on a consistent basis.
Well, for a long time, I've enjoyed Sidework Podcast.
Okay.
If you want to check it out. I like their tone and their content, you know.
Okay.
They're ladies, and they just have a melodious, you know, sound to them and things like that. Very, you know, you can learn something, you know, very similar to ours.
Okay, awesome.
And so I'll pop that on, I'll listen and things like that. And I find, you know, there's room for everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, and I like to build people up in our industry as well. So if you have a chance, people out there, check it out. You know, check out Sideword Podcast. And Restaurant Tales is another one as well. And they have good energy,
nice.
Good humor.
Okay.
You know, check them out as well. Good people over there. I've communicated with them loosely.
I remember telling me, yes.
And mm-hmm. things like that. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And one that I most admire really is Restaurant Unstoppable. Although not in the same lane, he deals more with the business end of things.
Gotcha.
He talks to mm-hmm. owners and chefs and you know, he talks systems and things like that. And I learn things from that podcast all the time.
Is that the show you were on?
No. I've not been on many shows at all. I've been...
I thought you reached out to... Or somebody reached out to you and you did a show with them.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I was meant to, but it never really...
Got you. Okay, you got
materialized.
You.
But I have spoken to... Restaurant Unstoppable.
Okay.
And he's really cool. He gave me his time.
That's awesome.
You know, we have some things in common. And it's pretty cool. I love you know, meeting people mm-hmm. and connecting and things like that. It's all about connections.
Absolutely.
You know? And he's, talk about energy. This guy is a dynamo. You know, he's like, you could feel the energy go
yeah.
through. But yeah, check it out if you're interested in
that always pops up on my like it's one of the first things that pops up whenever I look at like when I go to look through our podcast mm-hmm. like that, it's the first one right there popping up.
Yeah, he's good people. And so, you know, let's talk about our dynamic. Let the people know about, you know, how we relate to each other. And
oh.
I mean, I think they know that we're friends.
Yes,
you know,
obviously.
And we've been friends for a long time. Yeah, that's quite evident. But yeah.
I always feel like Marlon is the serious one in the group, but not like in a bad way, in a very awesome, organized, just guru type of way. And I find myself to be like almost the comic relief or, you know, just to add just a little bit of splash of what's me and what I try to bring to the table.
Very much our personalities.
Yes.
You know, very much our personalities. And, you know, I find that we balance each other out, but I think they already know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they already know that. You are like one of the most generous, kind people that I know.
Thank you.
You're always giving people your time. On your birthday, you were helping people.
I was.
You know, in fact, like within the last, I'd say week and a half or 2 weeks, you were helping multiple people move.
I have been helping a lot of people move.
Man, you're way nicer than I am. Not to say that these people aren't important. They are very important people, you know, but I'm definitely a cut and dried type of like, you know. Nah.
Yeah, I definitely try to give my time when I can, mm-hmm. Especially to friends. And, you know, you make relationships over time. And I feel like each relationship has a bond. So if it's something as small as, you know, giving a couple hours of your time, I think it's worth it in the end.
That's not small.
You're right.
That's huge. You know, time is valuable. And it's one of the things that really has changed in my life,
mm-hmm.
where I used to be able to play video games and,
yeah.
you know, take naps and, you know, that's not happening.
I hear you.
You know, so my time is valuable and I do not give too many people, you know, my time because I value my time. I care about every minute of my day. And at times my calendar is, you know.
I'm looking at his calendar. It is always full. It is so yeah. organized and full. He's got like 6 things going on today, tomorrow.
Yeah. I may not get to everything I need to do today, but I'm sure as heck going to try.
Yeah.
You know, but that's how it is, you know. And also I'm able to take time for myself. But for you, you're although are very very generous, you tend to internalize things a lot.
I do.
You know, I could tell when you're in your head, you're thinking and you're private and personal and things like that, but you mull things over in your head. And for you, I wish that you can work on your deserve level. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it impacts how you treat yourself and you have to really put yourself first in a lot of ways. It's not
that was actually one of the things I wrote on my I do, like, I have a little thing on my fridge.
Okay.
And it has like a little, like, you know, what I need to do and like things I need to prioritize in my life. And one of the things, my big thing for my birthday just passed, was to focus on myself.
Okay.
Was one of the, what it's right on my thing, is in big bold letters, focused on you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I am definitely aiming in that direction. I give too much, but I think it's, I don't even know if it is too much. I don't know what, you know, I try to balance my life the way I can, and then, but I give when I can, and then, but I do need to focus a little bit more on myself. And I have a lot of stuff going on now that I'm going to have to just focus on myself, which is good.
Well, you know what? I never really understand what too much means. You know, to quantify things, it means something different.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a helpful analogy of when you're on the airplane and they instruct you, when the oxygen level goes low, the masks will drop automatically.
Yeah.
Put your mask on first before you help others who need. And that's how life is. You know, when you do for others, you're not really taking care of your own mask, because if you are running on empty, or if you pass out, you can't help anyone else.
Yeah.
And you can burn yourself out, you know, being there for others and doing things. And then, you know, then you get sick, or you blow up, yeah, or whatever the case may be. But that's personal. But in relationship to the podcast, you know, our dynamic is we don't really argue.
No.
I don't think we've ever argued, but we've had some tense times.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like that should happen, because that's how you work through things.
Yeah. No, I'm not afraid of it, but, you know, it's, we have different lenses.
And of course.
When you've really, you know, supported me and saying, hey, it's okay, it's going to be all right, or whatever the case may be. And at times I'm like, grr, you know, we gotta be buttoned up. We have to be, you know, more prepared, or this and that. But in the end, it's important to really demand more of people, but in their activity and not in their personality. No one has ever has to change, you know, to suit you, but their behavior is something different. You know,
absolutely,
what they do.
Accountability.
So, accountability.
And he definitely keeps me accountable for things, which I love. But I think it goes on both ends. And, you know, I like, with the laughter, I say it. I mean, I can give just creative criticism the same way. It's just, it goes both ways. I think we, you know, early on, we were both teaching each other different things. And then once he learned, he started buttoning things up, and we both were growing as a whole.
Yeah, without a doubt. So then let's get into some of these voicemails. Right?
Oh, boom.
So
okay.
So we asked you to call in, and we've selected, I think we have a good number of them.
It's like 10 or so.
We can't play them all or something like that. But we'll play them, and then we will listen to them together.
Okay.
For the first time. We did not edit anything. We don't know who or what or anything like that.
We're about to find out right now.
We're about to find out. We'll have our reactions. We'll talk about it, and we're flying by the seat of our pants.
Boom. First one.
Hey, this is Troy in California off of IG. Congrats on your 100th show. I wish you guys nothing but the best. My idea, my thought is, let's get away from the tipping system. Let's just pay everybody a livable wage. My thing is, after 25 years in the restaurant industry, I'm tired of hearing of waiters complain about the tips they get. Let's just pay everybody a livable wage and don't have to worry about the 10, 15, 20% anymore.
Okay.
All right. So, Troy, I did not expect that. but, you know, it's a very, very good point that he's making. For me, I believe that...
I don't think everybody's created equal. I mean, they are, but they're not when it comes to your service and you going above and beyond. And I think for people that are really honed on their craft, that they get extra generous tips and stuff like that, and it shows.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying. You're saying that
I don't want to make people lazy. I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, if, like at any job where you get, you know, there's a set amount of money that you make.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People, I find that even with my friends that make really good money, that do they they get complacent because they know they're going to make that. Or even like when we were talking about when you go to Europe, you know, your service can end up being lackluster or something like that because it's built in. You know, the money's already built in. They don't have to worry about this, that, and the third. And it does make sense. I'm not arguing that fact that it should be equal, you know, fair wages. I'm not talking about the wages fair or unfair.
Okay.
I'm just saying I am also a performance built kind of person.
Okay. So what I hear you're saying is that the way it is, it's almost like a meritocracy. You get more tips based on your service and performance.
Absolutely.
Okay. What the point that I believe Troy is making to me is a valid point.
Absolutely.
And I'm a person who believes in it's worth looking into making things better and changing things without supposing that people are going to be lazy or supposing that people are not going to, you know, earn. So you can look at it that way, or you can look at it as there's going to be more pressure for them to perform if everyone's making the same wage.
Absolutely.
Then, you know, then you shore up your staff that way, where if there's someone who doesn't pull their weight, like your job now,
yeah,
you can go.
Exactly.
Right? So I'm not afraid of that part of it. What's interesting to me is what the fair wage is going to be may be have to be different for different places, because it'll be a huge undertaking to change the tipping system. I don't particularly care for it. Okay. I really don't. I accept it, but now what's your agreement with your current employer is going to be what, you know, the wage is going to be.
Yeah.
Because if you work at a certain restaurant and the margins are different or the price point's different, your wages aren't going to be on par with someone another place.
Exactly.
But then also it kind of works the same way about the tips too, because your check average isn't going to be the
same.
They're
going to be higher.
Exactly. Like that. My curiosity is this. Why is it that others are determining our worth? We should determine our own worth by where we work. If we work at IBM and we're making $150,000 a year,
yeah,
you know, versus, you know, we're coming to IBM with our experience, with our knowledge, with our years behind us and things like that. So that's interesting that, you know, the guests are paying directly our wages and the restaurants aren't investing in us in that way.
Way, absolutely.
So I wouldn't mind a change in the system, but I'm not fearful of what that, because, hey, people get hired and fired all the time, and you build your cultures accordingly.
Absolutely.
I think it's just going to be an issue trying to change it. It'll take several restaurants just breaking away from it, and then people, you know, that are resistant to the change over time will have to get used to it. And as more and more restaurants come online, and there are some that do that right now.
Yeah.
I think Danny Meyer, I think some of his restaurants are just across the board wages.
Mm-hmm.
We have to build more of a culture more so than, you know, keeping what just is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's an excellent
great
first
question,
one.
Yeah.
First one.
Nice
out
way,
the gates.
Nice
you,
way
Troy.
To jump in.
And Troy, 25 years, I'd definitely love to pick your brain.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And see
thank
what you
for
think
calling.
About other things. Yeah, thank you for calling. And we're going to reach out to you and, you know, keep in touch.
Next one.
Hey, Marlon and Danny. This is John from Hollywood calling to congratulate you on 100 shows. Well done. I have a couple questions. Like, if you're in a restaurant and you see a rat run across the floor, whose fault is that? Is it the owner's? Is it the manager's? Is it the rat's fault? You know, and who do you go to address this problem? And also, if you have an uneven table, the table's wobbly, are there any modern day solutions to solve this other than just a wad of napkins under one of the legs? Anyway, congratulations again, and talk to you. Bye.
John,
awesome.
You are a nut.
We love John.
That is right on par with this show. First of all, it's not the rat's fault.
It's not the rat's
fault. The rat's just being a rat.
Yeah.
Rat's doing what it's got to do.
Yeah.
Rat's doing ratatouille.
Yo, rats have been doing rats since the beginning of time, okay? Let's not ever forget that.
Listen, we got to apologize for the rat for building a restaurant around its territory.
True.
Okay? That's number one. So, fault. You know what?
I think So, where I work at, we had an issue just recently. They're doing construction. You know, and when you build up something, it opens the doors for other things that normally wouldn't be there to pop in, you know, like because you're taking away from their land.
Rats live in walls.
Live everywhere.
Foundations.
So, exactly. Yeah. So
you break that down, they're finding a new home.
Exactly. So I think what's, you know, depending on where you're at, you know what I mean? And then you have to take in what's going on around you.
Okay. So you got to address the man's question because it doesn't depend on where he's at. The dude's got a rat.
He's got a rat.
Okay. Or at least in his question.
Yeah.
There's a rat. Rat's there. What do you do? Go.
The establishment should take care of it immediately. And you set up your perimeter. Just like in your own house, you want to eliminate the threat. Bottom line.
Okay. So I like that. I like that you likened it to a house. Okay. So John, now the house owner is responsible for what is in and around the house.
Exactly.
Rats, roaches,
all the above.
You have to have a program where by the time you see the rat, you got a problem.
You got a problem. That means there's more if you see one, you are already, the game is already afoot.
Listen, John, you don't have a rat.
You have rats. You don't just have one roach. There's roaches if you see a roach. Okay.
Yeah.
So roaches and rats are in.
What you saw was the scout.
Yeah, exactly. You saw the man peeking around.
You saw the scout, and he told them, he's like, "Yo, I think they saw me."
Yeah.
So yeah, responsibility, fault, and responsibility are completely different.
True.
Okay. So no matter who's at fault, the responsibility lies on the person who owns the who's renting the building. They're maintaining the building.
Yeah.
There's food around. There's dumpsters to be, you know.
Now, and that's a good, great question is now, where did we see this rat? Is it inside the establishment?
I'm assuming the restaurant. I've seen a rat in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm out.
Oh, terrified.
Okay. I am out of there. So, you know, don't blame the rat. But now the wobbly table.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Listen.
I don't think there is an end. I've seen wedges and stuff like that. And like anything in life, even in your own house, we were just talking about a house, certain ground is not level in certain places. So, you know, when you have movement of tables or, you know, you're connecting tables. I don't know the system in each place, but, you know, if you move a table where it was perfectly centered before, it might hit a different spot and it might not be centered anymore. So I don't know. It's always going to be an ongoing system. They kind of need to make something that maybe has almost like a gel kind of thing where you can conform it to where it should be. I don't know.
So you would have to reinvent the way that you make tables for restaurants.
True.
Okay. So to me, the after the fact thing is, there's two reasons why where a table would be wobbly.
Yeah.
It's either wobbly at the feet or wobbly at the base where it connects to the tabletop connects to the post of the table.
Yes.
Okay. So the ladder is really hard to fix.
Yeah.
You need some tools.
You have to flip it around. You got to fix it.
Yeah.
It's not something that can happen at the table when there's a guest sitting at it.
Yeah, correct. So I'm assuming you're talking about the feet of the table hitting an uneven floor. So that's the thing. When you make a table to be square in a factory with all four legs, you're level there. Floors aren't level. Restaurant floors are cobbly, unleveled places. And they get a high amount of wear.
Yeah.
Now, I do not believe in spending a lot of money to solve this problem. It's table wedges, and that's it. Napkins,
no. No, that's
it's not unsightly. The
way exactly.
They get ripped up, and, you know, that should not be a thing. Every waiter can have a couple or put them in a station.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you just pop those things. Now, the issue is that table's perfectly level with the wobble wedges.
Yeah.
And then the guests come and they pull the table.
They move, exactly.
So unless you're going to build a different table that has, in and of itself, systems to balance
out.
Like when you see a backhoe comes and the things come down and it levels itself on unlevel ground, but that's more cost, more technology and things like that. Buy the damn tables, buy a case of wobble wedges and keep it moving.
Exactly. Yeah, it's more cost effective. It makes more sense. It's just not something that...
You don't want to throw a bunch of money out it's a relatively small problem. I mean, it's a big problem, but I'm sorry. You have a guest sitting at your table. That's a bigger problem.
Yeah.
You have a great...
Yeah, that's a problem to have if there's a guest sitting down.
Correct.
You're already ahead of the game.
Yeah, let's not waste money on a table that's going to be balanced in all weather conditions or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, you have to have a good mind for
cost and efficiency. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Awesome.
Two for two. Great two.
Wow. You ready? We got another one coming up right now.
Boom.
First off, guys, congratulations on 100 shows. But secondly, I have a little bit of a gripe. I recently listened to your Oldest Restaurants in America episode, and although you guys had some gems on the list, there was one giant omission. Hailing from the birthplace of revolution, that world-class city with a small-town feel, Boston, Massachusetts. We have the Union Oyster House. It opened for dining in 1826, but the building is actually built around 1700. And it's actually America's oldest continuously running restaurant, which is a lot of these places you guys mentioned were hopping around buildings, all kinds of other crazy stuff. And Marlon, you mentioned King Louis Philippe of France. Well, he actually lived on the second floor while in exile. So I'm not going to do all of your research for you guys, but maybe this should be your 100th episode, The Great Omissions to America's Oldest Restaurants. Congratulations again, guys. Your boy, Ricky Fats. Later.
Awesome. Okay.
All right. We got scolded there. My hand has been spanked.
Marlon got in trouble. He got...
I'm not going to do all your research for you, Marlon. Listen, we saw the
Union. You sound like how when Marlon yells at me.
We saw that restaurant on the list, the Union Oyster House.
And do you remember what number it was by any chance?
Hell no, I don't remember. We couldn't mention them all.
No, exactly.
You know, and this is why we have this forum because, and this is why we have time.
Yeah.
We have time to go forward and include things,
yeah.
Correct things, have discourse. We have someone talking about, you know, getting rid of tips and things like that. You know, creating movement and thought.
Absolutely.
Okay. And to have the oldest continuously run restaurant, that's impressive. So I'm going to go back, Mr. Ricky Fats, and look that up. And you know, I'm going to be doing a bit of traveling.
Yeah.
And
we'll have to go check it out, actually.
Some things. Yeah. I mean, immediately, I'm not going to Boston just yet.
Yeah.
It's an amazing city.
It is.
And but when I do,
except for parking, is out of control.
Yeah, it's not going to stop me.
Out of control.
It's not going to stop me.
I know.
Parking, come on, bro.
Yo, I went for the first time a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We went out to dinner, right? It was like $60 to park for like an hour and a half. Yeah,
you just parked at the wrong spot.
Yo, I don't.
They got you.
I didn't even. Yo, I didn't know that existed. Yo,
you got God. That's like hotel parking,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, it was out of control.
Yeah,
I asked people, I was like, is this normal? They go, yeah. I go, what?
That's not normal. They got you. That's worse than New York City, bro.
It's out of control.
They didn't have any on parking. You went into a garage.
It went to a garage.
Yeah, that's your problem right there.
Oh. I didn't know where to go.
Never go garage, bro. Garages are expensive.
I get that. But it wasn't like a garage like... Like, you know, like in the city, you like, you know, you feel those like little side garages and you pay or whatever. No, this was like a garage.
Yeah, those like are expensive.
Like six, you know, six to eight, like
real estate,
like
is
a municipal garage.
Yeah, no, they're expensive. Yes.
Oh, okay.
You got to find on-street parking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually that way. I try to, Yeah, free is for me.
No. There's no free. There's no free. There's no free parking, at least in New York, on the street. It's metered.
Yeah, well, yeah, I actually have a couple spots in New York where I know where I can park on the street. But
you got to keep circling around.
Yeah, exactly. And, then and you got certain days you can be on that street. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, thank you for that. And thank you for the congratulations.
Absolutely.
Stop yelling at me.
Hey guys, this is Rob Santos from Instagram, your friend on Instagram and Serial Sommelier. I just want to wish you guys congratulations on your 100th episode. I've been following you since about episode 60, and I just love it. You guys are very passionate about what you do, and that comes through in the podcast, and I just hope I'm around for the next 100. Take care, guys. Peace. Cheers.
Cheers, Rob.
I love that. That was awesome. That was really cool. And
that's my boy.
Yeah.
Cereal man. Yeah, he's the cereal sommelier. He's the one that told me about mixing cereals and stuff like that.
Oh.
And he put me on to some great generic cereals, too.
Really?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. You know, listen, I got to tell you, Instagram is interesting to me.
Okay.
You know, I'm really not that big on Instagram at all. But what I have, people, you know, I have a good,
I'm not gonna lie, it's the only social media I actually check on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I'm never on Facebook or any of those other things. I mean, I check them every once in a while, like when people tell me, hey, I tagged you in this or something like that, and I'll kind of peek and see what it was about. But
Facebook's an angry place now.
Oh, God, it's so angry.
These people are out of control.
They're so angry.
What is wrong with you people?
I don't understand, yo.
You know, you used to be so, like, once they, when they knocked, what's it called? MySpace out the way.
Yeah.
They were all happy. Yeah. They were friendly.
They had purpose.
They were chill. You know, now everybody's putting up crap.
Craziness. Yeah, it's crazy.
Get out of here, Facebook. Yeah.
There's so much commercials on it. It's out of control. I might as well be watching TV.
Listen, you can't scroll through.
I mean, I know how much, I know why he's worth so much, at least.
Yeah, listen, it's nice to connect with people because it's all interwoven. That's fine. But we really have to get back to actually posting fun, relaxed things instead of putting up your angry, stake-in-the-ground
your whims. It's not about a whim. And, you know, it should be meaningful most of the time.
No, it doesn't have to be meaningful. And it is about the whims. But it's not about your identity as far as, like, I'm this politically. And if you're not, then you can go to hell and things like that. You know, come on now.
Yeah, it's out of control.
It's not that serious.
It's not.
You know, you're on Facebook for crying out loud. You know, taking stuff seriously. Get out of here. You know.
Can't take life too seriously. You never get out of it alive anyways.
Exactly. Take a chill. Rob with this. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Next one.
What's up, guys? This is Lindsay from California. Lindsay Joy Onken the First from Instagram. Congratulations on 100 episodes, guys. That's so dope. I've been listening since the very beginning, 100 episodes ago, and I just love it. It's so relatable, and it's really good to listen to your podcast because it makes me feel all the things. I get frustrated. I laugh. I totally relate because I've been in the industry for about 20 years myself, so I think your podcast is a great outlet for servers, bartenders to just listen, vent a little bit, laugh a little bit, have a good time. Keep it up. Can't wait for number 200. You guys are awesome and I love it. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, guys.
Man, that gives me the feels.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Lindsay.
20 years in the business. And the thing that gives me the feels is the relatable, and that's what we're going for.
That's exactly what we're going for.
You know? We haven't worked everywhere. We don't know everything, but we do this and we love it and we've been in it.
Yeah. Right?
And if we can relate to people who have been in the business, want to be in the business. A guy wrote me and told me that he wanted to get into the business after listening to a couple of our episodes. And I was like, you sure about that?
You sure.
You sure about that 5 minutes? You know, but it means something because, hey, it's a viable business to work in.
Absolutely.
It gives you a lot of, you know, there's good and bad like any other career, right?
Exactly.
But to be relatable is the goal of the podcast.
And that's why we do this for these for everybody, so they can relate. And we always said from the beginning that we wanted to teach people who didn't know about the industry something, and people that do know about the industry something that they can relate to.
That's our mission.
Exactly.
That's our mission. And our first tag in the first season was giving people a look behind the industry curtain.
Exactly.
Is what our intro was and things like that. So that means a lot to us. And Lindsay means a lot to us because, as you know, during quarantine, I really had time to reach out to a lot of people.
Awesome.
And we kept up, and she was the impetus for the show. New job, I think it was.
Okay.
You know, I told you how she, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yes, 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 yes.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we love these OGs from day one,
from
right?
Day one.
Nice.
I love it. All right. Well, we got them next.
Oh, my God. Is this a Batman hotline phone to the podcast show? This is Tame Angelo. I'm just calling with an idea. I just want to let everybody know I do not discriminate. But please, 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 for the love of God, if you're not tipping 20%, don't sit in my station. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day. Be blessed.
Oh, Tamala Jones. Oh, yes.
Wow.
God bless her.
I didn't know which way that was going.
Oh, you know.
Wow, the Batman hotline. I love Batman. I'm Batman. If you don't tip in 20%, don't sit
in my
station.
You got to go.
Wow. That's hilarious.
That is amazing.
We should change the name of this podcast to Nut City. That's awesome. That put a smile on my face.
Oh, that was classic.
Thank you, Tamala Jones.
Next up.
Congratulations on 100 episodes, guys. Love the podcast. Always funny, especially considering I get a lot of the inside jokes and a lot of the stories behind it. My name is MJ. D, congrats on another 100 episodes, or at least 100 episodes there. So, that being said, hopefully we get my ass on one soon enough. Take care, guys.
Who is that?
That is our friend Chris G.
Superman.
Yeah. Pull the cape out, pull the shirt across.
Yeah.
Hit you with the dab when he scores the touchdown.
I was like, the inside jokes. I didn't get the voice.
Thank you.
Now I'm getting it. I'm getting it now. So when people call in, they know us.
Yeah.
You know? They know how hard we work. They know a lot of them have either, you know, like some people say, been with us since 60 shows, been with us since, day one or whatever. And we really give you the good, the bad, and the ugly, like you said, you know, on the promo for this show, you know? And that's what it is. We're not perfect.
No.
You know, none of us are perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
But we go through life and we prop each other up. And if there's anything that I could do for someone, you know, I'll do you as well and things like that. And some of our friends are calling to prop us up, and some people that we don't know are calling to do the same, and it means a lot.
It does.
This is why we do it.
It does. It's an amazing thing.
You know, thank you.
Thank you. All right, next. We got like three left, so we'll see. Let's keep it moving.
I just want to message for you guys, and probably the best message for you guys. I just got myself a John Deere tattoo. You could probably talk about that in your show. So when I'm sitting out front of my yard, cleaning my yard up, my John Deere tattoo, talk about that. I'll let you guys know you're doing a good job, but definitely should talk about my tattoo. Well, that's about it.
What the hell was that? Now, when we talk about the John Deere tattoo, exactly what are we going to say?
I don't know how it relates to any restaurant, but...
Are you going to have like the words John Deere, or are you going to have just the deer and
we're
supposed
to
know what we're
going to... Is it the tractor in the tattoo with the John Deere name?
I know, right? Okay, so you're getting a John Deere tattoo. I'm assuming...
Are we on a tractor?
We're not on a tractor. We got to talk about his John Deere tattoo.
Well, exactly. I mean, well... I want to know if we're going all in, like the riding tractor, or are we on the sexy, like the manly one? I mean, how John Deere are we going? Are we cow tipping?
You know, I'd like to think it's a minimalist.
Okay.
It's just the deer.
Gotcha.
The prancing deer.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what it is, if you have to ask, you don't know what it is.
Then you ain't in the mix.
That must be some inside stuff, because I don't know what the hell was that.
I dig it the most.
But you did say we did a good job.
I'll take it.
Zen is yard. Thank you.
Hi, guys. It's Kayla. I just want to say congrats on your 100th show. I'm so proud of you both. Watching your podcast evolve from the first show to now, it's been such a great ride, and I'm looking forward to many more interesting topics. Keep it up, boys.
You know what? Remember our first show, our first four shows?
Yeah.
And we put that out, and like one person will come out of one
once
ear,
a year. Yeah.
And one person will come out of the other
ear. I had us in left and right.
Yeah. I didn't even know what the hell was going on. Man, Babes in the Woods.
Yeah, man.
I mean, we still don't know what's going on, but we pretended.
Yeah, we fake it till we make it every time.
Yeah, those first couple of shows, all serious.
Yeah.
You know? When's the last time you listened to them?
Oh, well, actually, I had to listen to them recently because I had to fix those shows.
Mm-hmm. Did you now? How long did that take you?
Stop yelling at me.
Oh.
I just did it recently. See, so.
Recently.
He's yelling at me again.
When did I ask you to do it?
A while ago.
Play the next one. Thank you, Kayla.
Love you, Kayla.
She's proud of us. Nice boy.
Hey, you guys, it's Heather and Jeff. We love you.
What's up, Fish? Danny, I want my bike back. Fish, you're awesome. Just be yourself, guys. Do what you gotta do. We love you and we miss you.
Bye.
That's another good feels there.
Yeah, that was great.
That's old school right
old
there.
Old school.
Oh, my gosh. That's many, 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 many years.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I don't even know how many. Let's try to count them. How many years ago did you meet? That's Jeff and Heather.
Yeah.
Because he's about the only person that calls me Fish.
Yeah, that's probably.
In fact, the only person that calls me Fish.
That's 13 years ago when we met them. Well, when I met them originally.
Probably.
I mean, you probably know them even longer. Were they regulars before I even came to work there?
It all blends together, but at least that time.
At least that time.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing people. You know, they travel, they come back home, you know, they're just good people, all well-rounded.
Humor off the charts.
Yeah.
Humor off the charts, I'll tell you.
And I do remember that bike and it's gone. I think I'm on my third bike since that bike.
Oh, wow. Give me a bicycle, clown.
That is it for the voicemails. We had, like we talked about earlier, Marlon had a bunch of different people just congratulate us. We want to say thank you so much to those people that looked out and left us messages.
Yes, thank you to those of you who wrote into us, contacted us. I've gotten phone calls, messages as far as text messages and
gotcha.
Things like that.
Okay.
As well as Facebook messages.
Awesome, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty cool, man. I appreciate it. It's a great feeling to know that we're on the road.
Yeah.
You know, we're hitting home with some things and some things we could do better.
Yeah.
Like our research.
True.
But it's
his research.
Wow. Backing in the bus up. Thank you so much. We're going to do this for you every single week.
Yes.
I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter. If you enjoy our show, pass it on to a friend. That's the way that you can help us out at this time. We do this without any interruptions, any, promos and
all that stuff.
This moment because we're choosing not to do that.
We're like the original Facebook over here.
Yeah, we're choosing not to do that because we really want to work on the craft and things like that. Keep calling in with your sexy voices like Kayla and reach out to us. We're building our community. We always, always get back to you. Thank you so much. If you want to contact us, it's The Modern Waiter Podcast on Instagram.
Yeah.
And TheModernWaiter
@gmail.com.
Boom.
I'm Dane Davila. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. 100 in.
Woo!
1,000 plus to go. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum, bum. Shake it out. Bum, 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 bum. Later. Then it's time, y'all niggas start to feel in my team. I'm so glad you gave me high. Your weight is now over. I'm so glad you gave me high. Your weight is now over. I'm so glad you gave me high. Your weight is now over. I'm so glad you gave me high. Your weight is now over. Yeah, the dope.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.